Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to talk football in a minute. But right now we have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com with us. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's football season.
It is football season, but we got to get to something else real quick first. It has to do with football a little bit. And so we had Adam Teicher from ESPN, covers the Chiefs, on the show yesterday. And Adam is a Michigan State grad, and so I felt like he could represent the Big Ten on the show. And I asked Adam if he would like to cordially invite Nate Bucchetti and Kansas to the Big Ten, and he quickly declined. He said he has no interest in Kansas joining the Big Ten, and he didn't even think about it. No. Clearly, he'd already thought about it. It was a non-starter. Mm-hmm. And
what was the reason? Did he give a reason? He just said, I don't want.
He didn't think that KU brought much to the table.
Okay. Well, he said that he doesn't think it'd be a good look to have a stadium of 10,000 people at a football game.
And then Nate responded, "Oh, you think they'll have that many?"
I said, right, "You think we get to 10,000 by the time?"
Unbelievable.
By the time we get to the Big Ten.
Unbelievable. Self-inflicted wound there.
It seemed like you said earlier, if you make fun of yourself, you take some of the ammo.
You're trying to disarm
everyone.
Cut
your own legs off.
So now,
who's the black sheep?
Now you're a
what's a black sheep? Sorry.
You're a lifelong Michigan fan, right?
Yeah.
You love Michigan.
Yeah.
You really want to agree with a Michigan State fan on something?
Would you like to cordially invite Nate Bucchetti in Kansas to the Big Ten?
And Paul Quinn College in court cordially, invite your ass to come on down.
I'll tell you this. I have not heard anybody who's a Big Ten person say they want this.
Wow.
And so I'm in that same boat. I just don't see.
Okay, let me ask
you. Even the basketball, their brand in basketball is dominance of the Big 12, and they wouldn't be dominating the Big Ten. And so they'd end up being, every now and then they probably win the Big Ten. But
every now and then.
Yeah. But that's just kind of the deal with Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State. Indiana is a blue blood program, and they are
a middling basketball program.
Football's
pretty good.
That's where KU would be.
20 years ago. You're saying that KU would become Indiana in basketball if they joined the Big Ten?
Got a chance.
That sounds a little absurd.
Hey, maybe we're not going to talk football today with Jeff Chedia.
That is ridiculous.
How Michigan used to be a powerhouse in football.
Well, what's this all about? What's this all about?
You got a brand. That's true. Now, do you win?
They were ranked last year, if I remember correctly.
Oh, they did get ranked.
Hey, KU would be happy to be where Michigan is in football.
They'd be happy to be anywhere in football. But I'm talking about being a powerhouse.
And this is really a football discussion. I don't see what they don't bring anything in football. And I think KU's best bet, if they're talking about going somewhere else, is to go try to get into the ACC, where they could have Duke as a rival, they could have Carolina as a rival, they'd have more cachet as a basketball.
That'd be some good basketball rivalries there.
As a basketball program. You're not getting that kind of cachet with in the Big Ten. It's a football dominated.
Does that pique your interest at all? Being
isn't it pretty much though just Ohio State in football, and then they're actually better in basketball across the board than they are in football these days.
Look at the bowl situation last year. How many Big Ten teams were in major bowls? Ohio State is the big fish, but
they're the only team that ever has a chance to win the national title. Like nobody else has even a prayer, right?
Yeah, but it's like four.
But in basketball, you got a few teams.
Nobody cares about bowls anymore.
What's up? I'm talking about major. Well, 20-man bucks when these bowls still pay out. But major bowls,
right? Because again, college athletics is
bowl. It's about money.
Yeah, college athletics isn't about winning and losing. We're not sports fans anymore.
If you're saying that, if you're saying it's about money, then you should want Kansas.
What do they bring in terms
they
of
They bring
money?
A whole different market. The whole Kansas City market.
They're the third highest revenue program in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma and Texas.
And Nebraska doesn't bring that?
No. I mean, do you think anybody in Kansas City pays any attention to Nebraska? None.
I think you can't say nobody. That's like kind of a blank.
There's a small percentage of Nebraska fans that care.
Husker parties. I mean,
yeah, they do have Husker parties.
Husker watch parties. Minsky's right by my house. I see
the Kansas City market.
How big is the Kansas City market? Like 32?
Here's the part that this sucks for me.
It brings money to your conference. And look, you need to be proactive, or the SEC is going to eat everybody up.
I don't think the Big Ten is sweating any of this right now. The Big Ten is sitting there feeling like we can hand out $56 billion a year to our team.
The thing that sucks about this whole situation is, like, I feel like I'm being put in a position to state my case for something that I don't want to happen. I don't want to be in the Big Ten.
I don't
like,
either.
Why would you want to be? I mean, that's the thing. We got to go somewhere. We got to go somewhere. You know, but like, what's wrong? Like, what? Why would I want to be in the Big Ten?
Okay, so where do you want? You got
to
go somewhere.
What does the Big Ten have to offer me?
I'd rather be in the ACC.
Okay, you'd rather be in the ACC. Where do you want? You got to go someplace.
I don't know. I hate them all.
Because guess what?
I hate them all.
The Big 12's collapsing around you. Where do you?
I realize that.
So then where do you want to go?
The roof is on fire.
I mean,
let them burn.
Nobody wants to hear what
That's what Nate said.
Nate wants to go to the Mountain West.
Everyone is stop.
He does.
I want to hear what you have to say. Let's hear it.
The Mountain West.
Let's hear it.
He does.
I don't even know what conference. I think he should.
He just throws the Mountain West around. Have you investigated?
I don't even know what's in the Mountain West anymore.
And you just keep throwing that around. Is there another conference?
Mountain West Conference. Let me see here.
Hawaii.
I'd like
Boise State, Colorado State. You know what?
Say it.
Go out to the Mountain West, dominate in basketball, and then actually, here's the thing you don't have to do then. You don't have to keep throwing tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to try to pretend you're a football school.
I'm going to read this
to Jake. You don't have to
just
keep.
Just be Villanova.
You don't have to. Just. Why do I give a crap about this? I don't like the way that big football works in college football. Like, why do I have to try to be like that?
Paying the bills.
What bills?
I mean, you don't want to win? You were part of big football and it was fun. Why don't you want that?
It wasn't realistic.
That's part of the problem that guys who are KU fans like Nate and Jake, they just think basketball is still dominant.
Here's the problem
with college athletics. All these a-holes from 100,000 seat stadium schools keep telling me that I'm not supposed to care about basketball. Basketball is irrelevant.
I love basketball.
The sport you like doesn't matter. Because why? Because it doesn't make as much money. Because I liked sports because I like to see who wins and loses.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
But I'm told repetitively,
you know what this is all about, don't you?
In football, in college athletics,
that's right.
Winning and losing doesn't matter. We don't care who wins and loses.
Well, I do.
We just care who makes the most money. That's the sport. That's why the Cowboys are the best franchise in the NFL.
Well, that's when it comes to conference realignment.
That's why everybody wants to be a Cowboys fan.
I don't think anyone wants to be a Cowboys fan.
They're the best. They're the best team in the NFL.
Stan does, because that's what
athletics is about. Athletics isn't about winning and losing. It's about winning on the balance sheet.
That's the NFL. This is about.
That's why I'm tired of college athletics.
Positioning yourself to go to a healthy conference
and be relevant.
Now I'm going to ask you a question.
Is Kansas relevant as a football program if they're in the Big Ten?
More relevant.
How?
Better chance.
How?
They're part of the Big Ten. They're playing bigger games.
Okay.
Actually, be honest.
Yeah. How relevant is Nebraska?
I'd like to see Kansas get to a place where they have a competitive football program in schools like Michigan and Michigan State. That would excite me. That would have me drive to Lawrence and go watch football.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Not Boise, not Colorado State.
KU Texas Tech is not driving me to watch a game on Saturday.
So you're saying how could they be successful? And again, I'm telling you it's not about what conference they're in. It's about if they hired the right coach. Like Mangino, when he had things, when that year that they were that mm-hmm. good and won the Orange Bowl, would they have been good in every conference?
Yeah.
They'd have been decent.
Right.
They'd
have been,
They're ranked in the top five in the country.
Okay, so like in the Big Ten, in the last year in football, in the East, Ohio State, 5-0, they won it. Who was second place?
Indiana.
6-1 in the conference, Indiana. Who won the West Division?
The Northwestern.
Northwestern, 6-1. So if Northwestern and Indiana could be successful in the Big Ten.
Look at where those schools were 25, 30
I mean, those
ago.
Are two garbage, not garbage. No, because Northwestern went to the Rose Bowl.
They were talking about Northwestern getting booted out of the Big Ten 30 years ago because they were where KU was. But you look at what KU has done, what Wisconsin has
Sign
done,
me
what
up. Iowa Throw me up has in done, that what Rust Belt. Done. Let's go.
I think being part of the Big Ten has helped those schools build their brands football-wise.
Yeah, let's do it.
Join the Big Ten. Look, I wouldn't mind being in the ACC. They'd be more competitive because
I think it'd be more interesting.
Right, and so it's like I don't want that. I don't want to be in the Mountain West. I just don't.
Why? I don't want to be in any of these conferences.
Well, you have to something.
I know this is a case of having to go to find a seat somewhere because there's nowhere good to end up.
You better find a good seat. This is the point.
So you know, Big Ten's better than nothing. You know, I mean, but this is why college athletics is you know, becoming garbage in my opinion. Like I none of this is like something I want. It's just like, what's the best terrible outcome? That's basically you're hoping for.
Here's what I think about it, and this is when we talked about athletes getting paid and name and likeness. I knew this was going to be not what's happening right now with Texas and Oklahoma, but I knew that was going to open the door to everybody pretty much doing whatever they want to do. And
Everybody's already been doing whatever they want to do.
But now it's like they're even more justified because now it's all about what's best for you. And so my thing is when you look at college sports, I'm with you on this. College football's become a lot more regionalized in the last 10 years because of the playoff system, because of the dominance of the SEC. Everybody loves Bama and LSU, and they want to find a way to always have those teams involved in the championship. But college sports has gotten to a place that it can't get out of now. It is all about the money. It is all about the biggest person on the block. And when you start focusing mostly on, and this has happened with college athletes too, getting paid. When you start focusing mostly on who is the biggest fish, what they deserve, what they should have, guess who ends up getting screwed? The KUs, the little guys, the non-revenue sports. All those things that we love about college sports are going to start going away because of the money.
Yep.
Do you know who has the number 14 ranked recruiting class right now in the 2022 class according to ESPN? And you think I'm being funny, but I'm not.
Who?
Rutgers.
Boom.
What conference are they in?
I think they're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they are.
I'm pretty sure they
don't belong there. No, but why do they have the number 14 ranked recruiting class right now?
Because they're in the Big Ten.
No,
they have a good coach,
Greg Schiano. Mm-hmm. For what they want to do, they have a great coach. So my point of this is, Don't worry about what conference you're in when it comes to success in football. If Lance Leipold is the right guy, you'll be successful in the Big 12 or in the Big 10 or in the Mountain West or wherever you go.
Sure.
And if he's not, because let me ask you this then. So would Turner Gill or Les Miles or Charlie Weiss been successful in the Mountain West? I'm going to tell you no.
Right.
No.
The question ask is, does KU want to be successful in
Do
football?
You want to be successful?
I always feel Jeff, like that's the default argument is always, well, basketball's our thing. I mean, is it important?
You know
is
what? It was a lot of fun in 2007 when in 2008 when the football and
it doesn't
the
even
basketball,
have to be that. When you have a team
well, sure. that you're tuning like you're tuning in to watch. I mean, it's good. It's a lot of fun to have two programs that are successful. A lot of fun.
I guarantee it's probably more fun to blast Texas in football than it was in basketball. Back in those days, didn't they rip up Texas that year?
No, K-State would blast Texas a lot. KU never really did.
That Orange Bowl run, didn't they have some huge
win? They didn't play Texas or OU that year.
They beat Nebraska.
They beat the crap out of Nebraska. That was a lot of fun. Right. That was a whole lot of fun. Right, yeah, they put like 65 on Nebraska. That was great. That was
I'm being honest, because Nate wants Mountain West.
I'm not saying that.
You'd rather have the Big Ten. Like,
you can walk
so
it back,
I'm asking
though.
You.
Yeah, I'll walk it back.
San Jose State, Wyoming, New Mexico, Fresno State, UNLV, Colorado State, Boise State, San Diego State, Air Force, Nevada, Utah State.
I don't want Kansas to be grouped in with those schools.
So I'm Boise State.
ACC. You like my suggestion.
I do. I like that the best
Carolina.
Because
that would be super intriguing.
For basketball, right. And I think that's where they could have a decent chance to be at least a bowl team perennially in that conference.
Like, I mean, if Duke was
ACC's
was
not
decent,
that strong in football. I mean, they're just really not.
Outside of Clemson, I mean, they do win national championships.
Right, no, Clemson's is,
they're the only other conference that wins national championships in football these days.
Florida State and Clemson, outside of those two schools, their football is...
Miami's fallen.
You can compete with the Syracuse, Wake Forest and Duke and North Carolina. You can compete with them in football.
It just sounds so absurd.
Can you?
But everything does now.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You gotta surrender
to the
fact.
Yeah, I accept it. I accept it, but it does damage my fandom of college sports.
That's
like, I'm not as interested in college sports.
Mac Brown's got North Carolina up and running.
Yep.
See, they hired the right coach.
Yep.
The Big Ten
might go after North Carolina
a little bit.
I try to help. Before we break, we have been starving for any nuggets of news about Aaron Rodgers. What do you got for us? I just, you know, why don't they cover it?
Something going on.
Why won't they cover it? I mean, can ESPN talk about it once, maybe a day? I mean, we need something here. What's he going to do? Oh, he's going to play for Green Bay.
The following is a smart-ass kind
big
of
surprise.
Somebody just tweeted me to point out that Bill Self's 15-6 against the Big Ten while at Kansas, so.
How about that last game he played against Michigan?
Oh, no.
How'd that go?
Oh, no.
He's trying his hardest to get us to football. He's trying really hard.
I did. And who, I know. Who brought it back?
I know. I'm just saying.
Who brought it back?
Let him get to the NFL,
I was trying to get some news on Aaron Rodgers in this saga. I'm sure, like, I don't know what's going on. Can someone fill me in?
Sleeping on this story.
And this guy goes right back to... Yeah, so now do you got to want something?
I don't care. I honestly don't care. Wherever KU ends up, they'll be fine.
There you go.
Wherever they end up, they'll be fine, because like you said, if they got a good coach, they'll win whatever conference
they're in.
And they can be a powerhouse in basketball, because in basketball you're allowed to be a powerhouse regardless of what conference you're in.
Like, yes.
Not in
me,
football.
Like,
football, the deck is stacked. You got to be in the right conference to have a chance.
Well, people would ask me this when conference realignment happened with Missouri, right? Like, so, like, you know, what are you going to do now? Like, well, when they're in the Big 12, I rooted for Missouri. So what are you going to do now? Root for Missouri? Root for Missouri. So what are you going to do? Root for Kansas? Support Kansas?
Yeah.
Watch Kansas?
Yep.
Wherever they are.
I don't care.
Sucks.
Yeah.
You can't keep it together.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are splitting up. But guess what?
It'd be cool if they had some local rivals that they were in the same league with but that's not college athletics anymore.
Make the exchange and you'll have fun.
Yep.
And dad will overcompensate because he's guilty and he'll buy you all kinds of stuff to get you on his side. And then you go back and then your mom will say, oh, so he bought you a new stereo, so he's the number one? I'm like, what are you talking about, mom? He bought me a new stereo. Well, he can bribe everyone else in town, but not you. And by the way, your name's Steven. He's Steve. Like, well,
wow.
I'm sorry. This
I'm
guy,
getting lost in this analogy.
That got a little specific. I'm sorry. No.
All right.
Point
that was
KU's
a hypothetical.
Be fine, wherever they end up.
Nothing to do with my childhood.
They are going
to
be fine. They're going
to be fine wherever they end up.
Did you know you were walking into this? It was a simple question, and I didn't.
I texted him last week when I said the Big 12 was going to fall apart, and he was like, college sports sucks. Yeah. Whatever. That's going to be a great segment.
I don't like Nate that thinks college sports sucks.
That's
what
I think you might be wrong. It's not going to fall apart because they're going to get as much duct tape as possible, and they're going to tape the Big 12 so it's some abomination of a conference. That's what's going to happen.
I don't know why. Okay.
And KU will dominate it in basketball.
How many teams,
exactly.
If Texas and Oklahoma leave, how many teams are left?
Eight.
Big eight.
Ooh.
Done.
See what you did.
Bye.
Dude, I'm honestly happy to be rid of Texas. Like, I would love to be in a conference without Texas. All they do is ruin conferences.
But they always win the recruiting.
The SEC ought to be worried about inviting that snake into their house.
Yeah, they
you know,
should.
I mean,
there's plenty of snakes in this house already. Don't worry about that. That's just another snake. See, they're the big snake in the Big 12 house. Now they're just a small
snake.
They're just a snake.
Like,
oh, you're a gardener. Let me show you what I got.
They're just a gardener.
I'm sorry. Jeff, if you want to leave, you can. That seemed like that was, Nick Saban's, I'll show you a snake.
Yeah. Water
Texas.
Rattle.
You want to see something? Watch this.
Oh, boy.
What did Gunther say about the snake?
So how about Aaron Rodgers? It's crazy, isn't it? Wow. He's arrived in.
Insane.
What do you think? I was thinking about this.
The snake. The rest is
how does this end well for the Green Bay Packers this year?
If they go to the Super Bowl and win it,
all
that's
of this
it.
Happened, they're going to have the kind of chemistry you need to have to win a championship.
Do they ever look like they have chemistry? Aaron Rodgers is the worst body language quarterback.
Who cares?
Sign
me up.
I'm going to tell you exactly how it ends, with a loss in the championship game
to Tom Brady.
That's where it ends.
Right, that's where it ends.
Sign me up. What did we all get invested in over last year? 2020? No. Well, I did. Yes.
You did. You asked me the question.
To the moon. To the moon.
No, okay. So
when The Last Dance came out, right? Like, we were all locked in on that. Like, I couldn't get enough. Right? We were talking about it.
That was a bunch of pouting millionaires.
But like, that's what we're gonna get But we're going to get live in real time.
But it's not the Last Dance. That's why I keep telling people, they post this stuff on Instagram of Pippen and Jordan. They haven't won a championship together.
No, but...
it's like Stockton and Malone saying, it's our Last Dance.
But it's a similar situation.
It's the delusions of it.
He's an MVP. It's a similar situation.
How is it similar?
Because they're both
they're almost great, and the Bulls team was great.
I'm just saying, the turmoil between players and front office existed, and that was fascinating to watch it play out. And that's exactly what you're going to get here. No, sure, they're not the Chicago Bulls, but they are one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They're a top five team with Rodgers.
It's different when you got 12 guys versus 53 guys. Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is not going to be able to stop the fact that his entire locker room watched him piss all over the front office of that.
Ooh.
Of that,
but he's been
franchise.
Pissing all over that franchise
and so,
for years.
And so guess what? Now you got a whole bunch of guys walking around saying, "Are we really invested in this? This guy's leaving town after this year. He's thinking about his next stop."
Right? Like, you don't think there's some guys that are pissed off that like where it can't get to over and over and like nothing makes this guy happy. So what's he complaining
Plus,
about?
Plus, he's
now?
The worst body language quarterback in
but
the league.
Would you rather have Jordan Love quarterbacking their team?
Well, that's what they're going to get eventually.
Well, I mean, but not next season. Like, going into this season.
No, you could still, he's still a great player, but you could still be irritated and pissed off and fed up with him, and it could still damage team chemistry.
Look, if they start losing, it's going to implode. But winning cures all.
Well, I tell you what, if you got one, we talk about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, more recently Devontae Adams, but anybody in that locker room who's concerned about their contract, who's not happy with the front office, Aaron Rodgers just gave them free license to be even more upset about that, which affects the way you play on the field, which affects the way you lead your life. So you have a whole bunch of guys in there who think, these people aren't about us because our best player just spent the whole offseason saying these people aren't about you. So how are you going to turn that into some kind of really strong, solid, super chemistry type situation where you can go out? I think chemistry is the most underrated part of winning a championship. I think when the Chiefs won, when the Patriots won, when all these teams won, the Seahawks back in the day, they had great chemistry. When it started to fall apart, that's when those teams began to have issues. Look at the Seahawks back when they had Russell Wilson and in that defense. How much bitching was going on?
Hey, I'm not
like
saying
2 years of that.
I'm not
Russ Cook. That wasn't happening. Back
I'm not
then.
Saying the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl by any means. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Fascinating isn't why those guys play football. They play to win championships.
Well, I'm not those guys, and I'm not a Packers fan, so I don't.
Right. So I think what Jeff's saying, it may not be fascinating to the rest of the guys in the locker room.
Oh, it won't be.
They may be tired of it now. Like, okay, because this thing has gone on and on and on, and maybe I'm just because I don't follow it close. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do we really even know what he's bitching and complaining about?
That's what
now?
I'm saying.
Like all this, like what? Know. So what is it? Like what? So what? What is
they
the
didn't
problem?
Communicate with him.
This is not a marriage.
But it's been
this
going
is,
on and on. Is, like what is the problem?
This isn't a marriage. It's just staying together for the kids. That's what this is. We're just going to ride this out for one more year, and then we're going to move on, go our separate ways. And when you're in those situations, trust me, it's not.
But this is the best case scenario for the Packers. It's the best case scenario. After everything drug out from draft day, in the end of April, this was the best. This right now, what's happening is the best case scenario for the Packers
for this year. Yes,
right.
I think it's been taped together. To use your analogy, they taped this thing together with duct tape and spit and some Elmer's glue.
What
and
other choice did they have?
So this is, and they're going to present it to the world as this is a great thing for us. I think it's just going to be, a crap show.
Sure. And who doesn't like a good crap show?
Yeah, it's good for us to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is Aaron Rodgers is waiting for his next date to come down, his next wife. And when you're waiting for your next wife, you ain't that concerned
his
about
his next Hollywood celebrity girlfriend.
Right. You ain't that concerned about the relationship anymore. You ain't coming home on time. You're not.
You're not helping with
sucks,
the dishes.
You're saying the meatloaf sucks.
How many times?
I'm cutting the yard, honey.
How many times that happened before? Where like you got a quarterback who's the MVP going, "Hey, yeah, this is my last year, and then I'm leaving." Like that's been made clear.
Public, yeah,
that's. That's what, man, I don't know how it's going to play out. Like, I think they're going to go to the playoffs and go to the championship game, but like you said,
they could fall apart.
If it goes sideways on them, I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, I would say we have that situation to a lesser extent in Seattle. I mean, now they're trying to make like, oh, everything's hunky-dory, and Russell Wilson's coming up and trying to show everybody that he's friends with Pete Carroll and everything, but we know what happened. Yeah. Like, everybody on that team knows what happened. You know, like, and the Deshaun Watson situation, you know, I mean, he's trying to act, oh, I'm ready to play.
He gone.
Come on. You know, so it's crazy, and it goes back to, like, here, you're like, yep, keep that man number 15 happy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
keep that man happy.
Placate him.
That's what they do.
whatever it is, make him happy. Learn from these mistakes. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com is our guest in studio. So do you know when you're going up to St. Joe yet?
Friday, Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday. I'll be there. We're doing a big thing on NFL Network. On Saturday, we're going to have somebody at every training camp site.
Oh.
And so we're going to, it's like almost like a schedule release type event. We're just going to blow it out and have a big old back to school type football party for training camp. So I'll be up there Saturday for sure.
And just to remind people that today is the day that everyone, by the end of today, every NFL training camp will be open, in session, with players having reported and preparing for today's practices. So the rest of the team for the Kansas City Chiefs will be ready to go and on the field. What do you think is going to happen with Frank Clark? Is there any buzz about that?
I think he's going to be suspended at some point. I think he'll probably be suspended this season. I don't know what's going to happen as far as how the legal process is going to play out. I know California has very strict laws. I heard some people talking about this could get bumped down to a misdemeanor. I doubt that would happen. They wrote those laws for a reason. California's had some serious issues with gunplay in the past, especially with gang violence. And I think people don't understand just how seriously the NFL takes guns. I mean, and how easily players can fall into these kinds of situations. I remember Tank Johnson from the Chicago Bears many years ago, who lived in Arizona, grew up in Arizona, a state with far more relaxed gun laws, and he was playing in Chicago, and he was driving downtown to a party or some event, and he had a gun in his glove compartment, got pulled over, got hit with a felony, and from then on, you know, he had a couple more gun issues after that point. He ended up basically getting run out of the league for that reason. And so it's a serious thing. And it's a huge blow to the Chiefs' potential. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'll definitely think he'll be suspended.
So that's one of the reasons why, and even before all this happened, I was hoping the Chiefs would go out and land another edge rusher. And so last week when we talked to you, Melvin Ingram had already decided to sign elsewhere. And so with the Pittsburgh Steelers, later on that day, a week ago today, the Chiefs re-signed Alex Okafor to a one-year deal. So he comes back to Kansas City. Your reaction to that move? It almost felt like Monday, Ingram signs with the Steelers, and so then Tuesday, the Chiefs moved forward with Plan B.
Yeah, I mean that it is Plan B, literally. And so I say this every year that their defense dictates whether they win championships. And so if they can patch together a pass rush with Alex Okafor and Tackle Charlton and Chris Jones and
Jaron Reed,
you know, Frank Clark, whenever this punishment comes down, if he's able to be more inspired, that's the other part of it for him, is that he needs to have a great year for this team. He is a centerpiece of Brett Veach's biggest moves for this club over the last 3 years. I mean, he was the first domino to fall. 100 million, first and second round pick. And so for him to not deliver on that beyond the first year he had would be disappointing. So, yeah, I think they got to find a way to make it work. Because I don't think you can blitz your way to a championship. I don't think you can win without having a serious pass rush. And I'll tell you the other guy that is, you know, Mecole Hardman is another player who has had a lot of people scrutinizing him. And I saw a comment from, I didn't listen to the I wasn't on the Zoom, but I saw the transcript and I saw where he said he had not had any time with Patrick Mahomes this offseason.
Oh, good.
Which blew my mind.
That's amazing.
Blew my mind that he was asked that question, have you been able to work out with Patrick at all this? He's like, no, we didn't hook up. I'm like, how can you not hook up?
Because I mean, he's answered to people on Twitter. Like when people have criticized him for route running or not being in the right place or not being on the same page, and he always answering back like, you don't know what you're talking about, or you know, it seems like he doesn't understand why people are criticizing him, but you see on the field there have been times where he and Mahomes have not been on the same page, where even Mahomes has gone, you know, you see it. I mean, I know we're not all football scouts or football coaches, but we're not dumb. You see sometimes he's not where he should be or not where Mahomes expected him to be, and that's a problem, which would lead me to believe, okay, let's get that worked out in the offseason. It's a big year.
How can you not find a week to get on a plane and go wherever he's at? I'm sure he's throwing with people. I'm sure he's been throwing to Kelce or Tyreek Hill, whoever it is. They've done this in the past. How could you not coordinate some kind of opportunity?
He's been throwing in the area.
Timmy was talking about how he's been out there throwing Noah Gray and other rookies and other young players.
Yeah. So how could you not show up for that if you're Mecole Hardman? How could you not find? And I know everybody's got their offseason plans, but this is your year. This is your time.
It's mind blowing. It's not hard to find stories of elite quarterbacks spending ridiculous amounts of time with their young wide receivers in the offseason. Those stories are almost cliche.
It's commonplace.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like every college basketball player whose dad was a high school coach and had the keys to the gym. You know, oh, that kid was out there shooting all day, you know? And it's like every good quarterback in the NFL, you read some article about how Peyton Manning and his two best wide receivers spent all summer together.
Look at Brady last year.
Tom Brady was breaking rules to get out there with his players.
Breaking laws. Right. Not just rules.
Yeah.
Breaking everything.
Breaking the law.
Hey, and you know what? I mean, so the point is, you don't have to look far to see that recipe out there. You have the best quarterback in the league, and your career to this point has been a disappointment by most people's account. Hasn't been a bust, because a bust is a guy that doesn't even make it onto the field, and he plays and he produces a little
bit. A bust is Jonathan Baldwin.
Yeah, there you go. A bust is Jonathan Baldwin. He's not a bust, but he has not lived up to what they had hoped to this point. It's right there for you, man. Like, they've given you the roadmap. Like, all these other quarterback, wide receiver, that blows my mind.
And so
Travis Kelce is attached to Patrick Mahomes' hip.
Yeah, wherever you go.
Wherever he goes.
He's there. Yeah. And so they probably going to bed, and this Patrick Mahomes' wife and baby, they're like, what you doing here, Travis?
You know, like, when Kelce's out there filming his head and shoulders commercials with Paul Amula. Kelce's like holding the mic, you know.
Like, got the boom mic.
Yeah. You're doing great, Patrick.
Yeah, but this is what happens. I remember when the Carolina Panthers went 15-1 and lost to the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and I was talking to Ron Rivera in the next offseason, and they were still loaded, had everybody coming back. I think they had only lost. Now, I think Josh Norman was still there too. No, maybe I can't remember, but they had a ton of guys coming back, and there was a lot of talk about them following up on that great year. And Rivera, I remember him saying, first practice, he was like, look, dudes, this is not the same team. And the guys who are coming in here, you don't know what it's like, what we've had to go through to get to this point. And what he was saying is these young guys show up, and they're used to going to AFC Championship games. They're used to going to Super Bowls. And you don't know what it takes to stay at that level or to improve your own standing. You prove yourself. And so I see some of that in Mecole Hardman right now. It's like, I hope he has a great year. I hope that whatever he's doing pays off. But when you hear that, it tells me that maybe you're not still getting it. Maybe you're not understanding what you have to do, the lengths you have to go. Because the Travis Kelce's, they were here for all those playoff losses. The Tyreek Hills, they were here for those playoffs. They were here for those disappointments. And so they know. And he's got to learn the hard way.
So here's a couple of quotes from Hardman. From yesterday. just route running, just trying to do the whole tree, getting in and out of my breaks when asked about what he's working on. Just being aware of coverages, going over film a little bit more. So just trying to become an overall better player and just doing the little things to help out in the long run. And so the topic comes up. The chemistry he has built with quarterback Patrick Mahomes will be essential in his development. Hardman didn't link up with the former league MVP this offseason, but he's anticipating plenty of work in the coming weeks. No, I didn't get a chance to get up with him. We just weren't in the same vicinities when he was training and everything. But we got time in camp. Plenty of time in camp to get that chemistry down and the timing down, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Oh, my God. Nate? I can't find this.
In the same vicinities.
What are your priorities?
Jake Pounders, respond. Don't what? Shake your head. I'd like you to respond to this, because Nate is taking it
I'm blown away by that. Blown effing away.
I guess I feel really good about drafting Connell Powell. I mean, that's a lack of awareness. As a player, for me, that is a lack of awareness going into this season, knowing what's on the line for you as a player to be playing with the best quarterback, the ascending quarterback, the face of the NFL, the guy who's going to make you money, the guy who's...
Put the football in your hands.
Right. He's gonna put the butter on your bread, and you can't find a way...
You know what I'm going to do?
At least for a week to go... Whatever, at whatever costs.
You know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go in his vicinity.
Yes.
I mean, that was the thing. That's the thing.
I'm going to find his vicinity and go there.
I'm willing to bet that if he reached out to Patrick Mahomes and said, hey, man, I got to get some work in with you. How do I do that? Right?
Where are you going to be?
How do I do that?
What kind of time do you have?
I'm pretty sure that Mahomes will say, hey, let's do this.
Hey, that'd be awesome, man.
Well, he was already doing it with other players, so Mahomes would say, okay, oh, great, this is where we are, this is where we're going to be, come on.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to be creating some event, like say, hey, because guess what? Mahomes ain't coming to you.
And
you got Mahomes.
Yeah, and I doubt that Mahomes left him off the text or the email, right?
Don't tell McCole.
Hey everybody.
Don't tell McCole. I mean, yeah.
We weren't in the same vicinity.
Well, you're probably not going to be in
those circumstances. Were completely
probably not
going to
be
in
the same vicinity next year.
Wow.
Ooh.
Why? His contract won't be up.
And Jake didn't see the Super Bowl moments when McCole Hardman was clearly
Jake didn't
not
see any moments.
I read about him.
Did you watch that game still?
No,
he's not going to. What kind of question is it? Haven't you learned anything from being around here?
I got a play-by-play.
This reminds me of Larry Johnson.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you went there with it.
Stop
huh?
it.
That's
easy.
That's extreme.
That is a little.
I wouldn't go that
his
far.
Off, his
Let
off
me tell you one more time.
Were, wait.
College realignment has set him off. Yesterday, he was spitting fire at football programs all over the Midwest. Now he comes in. This is hot take Nate now. Let me tell you,
I like this. This feels more like Dwayne Bowe in some of the. That low
moment. Yeah, without that, like, is he going to apologize to the Clarks?
Without the 15 touchdown season, though, Dwayne Bowe had some.
But it's some of the more frustrating moments of Dwayne Bowe's career.
Is he
going
to apologize to the Clarks?
Guess what? If Hardman goes out and has 15 touchdowns this year, then I'll hear everything he has to say.
Well, here's the thing.
Fine with it.
Hey, Larry Johnson produced like crazy for a few years. But my point is not. I'm not saying the off the field throwing drinks on. People and stuff like that. But I'm talking about the immaturity and the lack of self-awareness. I remember Larry Johnson was one of the biggest, strongest running backs in the NFL, and he was a terrible pass blocker. Terrible. He wasn't emotionally invested in it at all. And when people asked him about it early in his career, like, hey, did you do any work to get better at pass blocking? He refused to acknowledge that there was a problem to address in the first place. I don't need to work on my pass blocking. My pass blocking is fine. Well, if that's your attitude, then you ain't going to get any better at it. You can't get better at something in life unless you acknowledge that you need to get better at it, right? And if McCole Hardman, to me, it's like, you don't think you need to spend some extra time getting on the same page with the greatest quarterback in the NFL? Then you're not going to get on the same page with him.
Well,
you know, like that's the thing. That's the analogy I'm making. I'm not saying all the other stuff about Larry Johnson.
I get you. Here's what can happen when you have a prolific offense and a phenomenal quarterback and two receivers who are the best in the league at what they do. The guys who fall in after them, there sometimes can be this sense of, well, if I was getting that those many targets, look what I would be doing. You know, if they were coming at me like that, so it's like I'm not getting that kind of success because the ball's not coming my way as much. Yeah. It's not my route running. It's not this and that. It's because you're running all the stuff for Tyreek, all the stuff for Travis.
Yep.
And that becomes part of this too, which is why you have to have that time together to get on the same page and to understand the expectations. And, okay, you're not going to be the 90 catch, 1,500 yard, 12 touchdown receiver, but if you're a reliable 60, 65 catch guy with 900 yards and 7-8 touchdowns, that means just as much. It's players like Chris Conley can adjust to it. I'm trying to think of other guys they've had there. I think even DeMarcus Robinson might be in that category. Guys who are happy to be a part of the mix. But something tells me that Mecole Hardman feels like he could be a lot more if he had more opportunity. It's not about the work he's putting into or his attitude. It's like, this is the system I'm in. This is the consequences that I'm dealing with.
It seemed like everyone loves Sammy. Remember, Sammy he could had that kind of bizarre postseason interview after they won the Super Bowl where...
Exactly.
You know,
I'm going to get 100 targets.
Right. Some wild proclamations were made that were nowhere near reality.
Yeah, just play. Get on the field first.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's just, if that is your mindset, you're setting yourself up to fail because the mindset should be, what do I have to do to get more targets from Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick Mahomes ain't going anywhere. That part ain't changing. You have to come to his level. Not the other way around. He doesn't have to come to your level. You have to come to his level. So you ought to be thinking, what do I have to do by all means necessary to get on the same page with him so he wants to throw me the ball?
Okay, I want to make sure that we're being fair here. Nate seems perplexed and mind-boggled that Mecole Hardman said, well, he didn't work with Mahomes because they weren't in the same vicinity. Are we, and you're the one that first brought it up, are we... overblowing this, or do you think this is a big deal. Okay,
it's a big deal in the sense of the confidence in his development from people who do. Now, I don't know what he was. Maybe what he did was mind blowing, breathtaking stuff that is going to lead to him turning into the next Jerry Rice. I don't know that, but I would think one of the most important steps.
Get with Mahomes.
Especially in an offense where it's so much of it is built on you seeing the same things that he's seeing. And so I don't know how as a receiver.
And again, sometimes off script and kind of knowing. And there were a couple of times, right, where Mahomes anticipated he was going to be someplace and he wasn't there.
Yeah. And so just having that conversation about, well, what were you thinking here? This is what I'm thinking. That can go a long way towards having success on the field. But again, I find it hard to believe that an invitation wasn't extended to work out with Mahomes. And if it was and they couldn't make it happen, then I would put that more on Mecole Hardman because he needs it.
I hope he blows up. I hope he has a great year and he makes me eat my words, and I hope he has 12 touchdown catches and 1,000 yards. I hope he does.
That'd be great.
I remember specifically saying to you after the Super Bowl, man, Mecole Hardman better be attached at the hip to Patrick Mahomes this offseason. They got to get on the same page because they are not.
Who said that?
I said that to you after the Super Bowl.
How did that happen, apparently?
They were not in the same vicinity.
Right.
He wasn't listening to you, Nate.
Maybe he's smarter than me.
You know what Jake said after the Super Bowl? What happened? I didn't watch it.
Hope they have enough time in camp to get on the same page.
What happened?
Are we making too much of this, Jake, that he was not in the same vicinity as Patrick?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, I think it says more about Mecole Hardman than anything else. I don't think it's going to harm this team a whole lot.
No, but I want him to be the best Mecole Hardman he can be.
I was looking forward to him taking a huge step forward this year. Maybe he will.
He's got a lot of work to do.
Done it, Patrick Mahomes in the Aussies.
Hey, what happened?
We'll be right back after this on WHB.